Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Dietish. Thank you so much for your patience as I took a little break from the podcast for the last episode, but happy Earth Day. Today, we have a very special guest coming on to talk a little bit about food waste and sustainability. So if you're interested in that, I would love to introduce Holly to you. D-I-E-T-I-S-H, a fun podcast with me. That's Lucy. L-U-C-I-E. We have a very special guest today coming on the podcast. Her name is Holly Baziuk. She has a Bachelor's of Science in Environmental Science with a certificate in sustainability. And she's currently completing her Master's of Science in Geoscience. And she studies downstream impacts of retreating glaciers. She is also, very excitingly, one of the top 30 under 30 for the Alberta Commission for Global Cooperation. Which is like sustainability initiatives, right, Holly?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And also, Holly has helped recover a baby mammoth. Do you want to tell me the story?
For sure. I was helping doing some field work in the Yukon in Dawson City, and I was working with the territorial geologist, and we got a call from the territorial paleontologist being, somebody found a mammoth. Can you please go get it for me? So we drove out to the gold mine up in the Yukon, and we were only about an hour away, and we got to do a site assessment. We got to recover Nunchoga, which is the name of the baby mammoth, and I got to pick mammoth fur out of permafrost for an hour.
Oh my gosh.
It's the worst smelling thing I've ever smelled in the world. Like 30,000-year-old rotting fur. But it was pretty cool.
That sounds really cool. Okay, and so today with Holly, we're going to talk about food waste and all of those kind of implications and how to live more sustainably, because Holly has a lot of experience working in food waste and did a pretty significant project in food waste. So I guess to kind of start us off, Holly, how did you become interested in food waste?
So I've kind of always been environmentally minded. It's why I pursued a degree in environmental science. At the age of 14, I started making produce bags for my family and friends, sewing them, because I thought that the single-use bags were silly at the grocery store. And so I you know, started doing that. And then I was traveling in my gap year in Scotland and realized how much packaging food came in. Mm-hmm. And then also just like traveling, how hard it is to keep your food and keep it like good and eatable. Yeah. And so that was part of it as well. And then, through my certificate in sustainability, a lot of kind of exposure to food waste. Mm-hmm. And then, I was given a project for 8 months that was kind of the combination of all of those things. So,
Very cool. Okay. And for any viewers that don't know, what is food waste?
So food waste is all food that is grown, harvested, processed, manufactured, or prepared for human consumption, but never gets eaten by people. So that's the like Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada definition. And another thing that we will probably talk about a little bit today is like food packaging waste. So the packages that our food comes in and how that usually ends up in the trash, because it's not always recyclable. Sometimes it has food residues on it and that kind of thing. So we're kind of going to talk about food packaging waste and then food waste. So they're two different things, but they're very intertwined.
Right. Okay. And so I guess to kind of kick us off, like, why don't you tell us a little bit about the project that you did? So how it started, the research itself that you did, and then maybe just like a brief overview of those key findings.
For sure. So we were tasked, this is like our capstone project for the environmental science department in our degree. Mm-hmm. And we were tasked with the kind of big idea of the intersection between food, energy, and water. And we were specifically given, how does that relate to policy? Mm-hmm. And I'd kind of heard some rumors about food waste policies in France. And I did some digging to kind of see, you know, what were the rumors saying? And France was the first nation to actually put a law in place about food waste. Wow. So that was kind of our starting point. We did a lot of kind of research on, you know, what is food waste? What accounts for food waste? What are the different definitions of food waste? What does it look like here in Canada? Mm-hmm. And then we did a kind of policy comparison of food waste policy in France, looking at that law that was introduced in 2016. And then looking at what kind of the current framework here in Canada is and that comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And so for kind of a brief overview of the France food waste hierarchy, which was part of the law that was introduced, was that you have these different tiers of what happens with food when it is no longer either safe for consumption or like it's kind of at its expiry date or, you know, it's not selling at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is kind of that prevention. So, you know, working to, you know, store it correctly and get it to where it needs to be, transportation. And then one of the things that France did was they did partnerships between grocery stores and local food redistribution centers. And basically grocery stores that had food that was expired but not actually gone bad,
mm-hmm.
they were able to give that food to people in need, yes. at a kind of a discounted or free.
Yeah.
And then there's recovery via transformation. So that's like either, you know, giving it as feed for animals or compost as well. And then composting and food or food to energy recovery. So
mm-hmm.
burning the food to turn it into energy to be used as electricity, which is kind of cool. It does have some emissions kind of associated with it. But it does have a lot of food energy because our food is energy dense, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot.
No worries.
We can take this out if you don't know. you talked about France and these programs for when food is like not like sellable, but not bad yet. And how they kind of, you know, discount it for people in need and stuff like that. I know in Canada we have some programs like that. We have the Fresh Roots mobile grocery store here in Alberta. Actually, are they in Canada? I don't know. Sure. But we have the Fresh Roots store. We have like apps like Too Good To Go. So how does Canada compare?
So we definitely have some food recovery kind of initiatives that are happening. The Leftover mm-hmm. Foundation here in Calgary is an example. But there's a lot of political barriers and like because of liability. So basically a lot of the governments in Canada have been like, we don't want to be liable for the redistribution of expired but still okay food.
Right.
And so then that liability gets put on like the people or the businesses that kind of take on these initiatives, which is tough.
Mm.
It's understandable in some regards, but at the same time, it's like, have we also reviewed what our expiry dates really mean in recent years? Like,
oh, yeah. Well, because most of the time our food is not an expiry date so much as a best before date, right? Because I think, like you said, there's a lot of like political concern about liability and, you know, not giving like poorer quality foods to consumers, right?
Totally. And like, it's interesting, especially because in Canada, like, you can't be like, you can't sue each other the way that you can in the States. So I'm kind of, you know, there's the side of me that's like, okay, but like,
where would that even go?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, obviously if there's like a recall on food, like don't give that to the people.
Yes.
But like, if it's just like, you know, the worst, like what's the worst that's going to happen? Maybe you get an upset tummy. Like, right. I don't know.
Well, and to be honest, I think maybe that is a bigger discussion about how to train consumers to understand what food is good and what's not. Because I think a lot of people see a best before date, are overly cautious, and then think, okay, well, it's bad now, and I'm scared, and I don't want to look at it.
Absolutely.
Because I do that sometimes too, right?
Yeah, and that's definitely something that, like, you know, it's a nice guideline.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really helpful. It's good, you know, if you maybe check that cheese in the back of the fridge that's been there for a couple months.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of educating yourself about kind of the common sense of it. It's like, does it still smell good? Is there mold on it? Like, okay, I can probably still eat this, you know? And and that's, you know, a huge food prevention thing is just understanding, like, it smells fine. It looks fine. Even though the date is not, but, you know, we've passed that best before date. It's still a best before date, you know?
Yeah. Not to mention that most stores throw out food that is perfectly fine, but just appears unusual. Like, even now, I was just shopping at Superstore and I bought discounted bell peppers. And it was the brand, it was like a no-name brand, but it was like perfectly imperfect. And it was so much cheaper. But again, a lot of that food gets thrown out because people just don't buy it because it doesn't look like the rest, right? So it's that food too. That's
absolutely ugly, right? Food is very much, it's much harder to sell. I think there's actually, I think it might be a documentary, or there's definitely something out there on the internet about ugly food. I don't know if it like follows the journey of ugly food. I think that's what happens in it. But I think it's a really interesting reflection on other aspects of our society. Like we kind of expect this perfect, like,
same as bodies.
Absolutely. And and so we expect this like apple to look exactly the same every single time, and it's like, but why? Like, and it's a living thing too. Give it some grace, you know.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. It's so interesting drawing that comparison of like, we don't just have unrealistic standards in beauty of people, but also of all the things around us too. So so I'm curious, you've obviously done a lot of work with food waste. You're very knowledgeable. I guess my next question for you is, how has that impacted your life as a person? How has it impacted how you keep house? And, you know, what kind of changes have you made in your life to cut down on food waste?
Absolutely. So a full disclaimer, I do still live with my family, but they have learned a lot in having me as their child. In terms of like how we store food, how we shop for food. I think it's a really nuanced topic because access to good food is so expensive these days. Or good foods in brackets.
Like healthy foods.
Healthy foods. But I've also, you know, lived where I was 30 minutes on a highway away from a grocery store. And I've also, and I've lived, you know, where I've had 10 grocery stores within a 15 minute walk, basically. And so I think one of the biggest things is just learning how to store your food correctly, washing it when it comes home, you know, washing your berries with a little bit of vinegar so you get rid of all those mold spores that they inevitably come with, because berries go bad so fast.
They do.
So stuff like that, learning, you know, what should go in the fridge, what should maybe go in like cold storage or dry storage, and just kind of, you know, also just rotate, like using up your things, which is easier said than done. But you know, remembering the things that you have in your fridge and making a plan to use them, and and being like, okay, what's gonna go bad first, you know? That's often something that I do. I like survey the fridge and go, okay, what's most likely, you know? I've been around long enough. I know what things tend to go bad first. So going like, okay, the green beans, they're going to be sad looking in a couple days, or, you know, whatever it is. And then kind of using that up first. In terms of reducing food packaging, we're a big fan of Bulk Barn. We go on Sundays because you get a discount when you bring your own jars.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think it's like 10 or 15%. It's like,
oh my gosh,
very much worth it.
Okay, Liv and I have been, there's a new Bulk Barn by our gym, and we go, it's, this is a sidebar, but we go we go every Saturday morning for like a sister date. We go to the gym, we get Starbucks, and there's a new Bulk Barn there. And so for the last few weeks, we've been like, we really need to go to Bulk Barn, but maybe we should go on Sunday.
Yes, so if you go on Sunday to Bulk Barn, you can go any day of the week with your own jars, but on Sundays you get a discount. And they weigh all your jars. So you show up, you go and you bring them to the cashier, and they'll weigh all your jars and they'll put a little number on it. So then they can minus the weight of your jars from your total at the end. And then it's kind of nice because they're like, I don't know, we store everything in jars in our house anyways. So it's like, you've already put it away basically. It's in storage. And you can get a variety of different things. Obviously, it doesn't work if you have like severe allergies to things because of cross-contamination. But it is a great option for, you know, sustainable, low packaging food. You can get all sorts of things. It's not just a candy store, even though everyone thinks it is. But they also have like obscure things like nutritional yeast and vegetable protein powder or whatever
it is. Liberty buys that.
And then also just, you know, buying things in glass when you can. And honestly, cans, because those things are recyclable. Recyclable. It's a hard word. And just, you know, do what you can to reduce food waste in terms of packaging. It's hard. You know, a lot of these things, it's you buy what you can, right? Yeah. And there's a lot of grace. I don't know. I have a lot of grace for that because I've lived in places where there was one option and you can't, you know, shop around and be like, oh, I'm going to buy this in the glass jar because it's the other option. It's like, well, no, like there's one type and you know, you have to kind of hold grace for yourself in those kinds of things.
I think Bulk Barn is also an interesting store of its sort because, you know, for as far as budgeting for food, like a lot of people will tell you buy in bulk, it saves you money in the long run. But I think for some people, like there is an inherent privilege that comes with that because some people can't just go to Costco and spend a grand on food, right? But Bulk Barn, because you're kind of weighing it out, and you can kind of pick how much you want, but you're still buying in bulk. There's kind of that element of being able to be like financially frugal if that's what you need to do. So that's kind of cool.
Totally. And especially if you maybe are someone that only uses like, I don't know, a half cup of salt in a year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe buying the full, you know, 1 kilogram bag of salt doesn't really make sense. It might like get all hard on you in that time. And then you're like, well, I wasted this because now it's all rock solid and I can't do anything with it. Whereas like, you know, especially if you're, you know, a couple or just one person shopping, it's a great option to buy like the amount that you actually need and not like so much more. And you can try things too. Like, you know, you can buy like a cup of something and be like, okay, I actually like this. I'm going to go back and buy some more. Which is another thing, like it can be scary to buy new things.
And then you're just stuck with it if you don't like it.
Exactly. And then you have some food waste where you're like, what do I do with this? Whereas like this is an opportunity to kind of like try some things out and, get a little bit of something. If maybe if you only need it for one recipe, like, you know, not buying the 10 kilogram bag of rice if you like really only are going to eat one cup of rice, you know?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's actually a very good point too. Okay. So, I mean, I always ask people this when we talk about like issues that are kind of like serious in nature. And so I guess I'm curious, like food waste is detrimental to our planet. It's, you know, detrimental to our food supply. I'm just wondering, like working in food waste must have been like mentally draining in some capacity. And so how did you kind of navigate that? Like what challenged you working in this area and how did you kind of navigate that? What sort of strategies did you use to basically give yourself grace?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, you know, doing the research, it allowed me to see how much of it is at the like systems level. And before you even get it to your own home. Like a lot of the waste happens with that ugly food that we mentioned before, and things that go bad in transit. And, you know, there's a lot of different pieces to it. I think, you know, being able to recognize the small changes still make a difference. And it might not seem as much of like an environmental difference, but it will make a difference to your pocket.
Yeah.
So like the city of Calgary estimates that about $2,000 of food is wasted per household per year. Wow. Which is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. So if you kind of think about in that regard, like that's a little bit depressing, but at the same time, it's like, okay, well, maybe I save $5 here and maybe I save $10 there by like saving whatever produce this was or, you know, doing something like that. And it's like, you know, when you start to look at those $5 and $10 compared to that $2,000, it's like, well, that actually made a pretty big difference, you know? Mm-hmm. But when you're comparing it to the like 35 million tons of food waste annually in Canada, it's like, ugh, okay, like that's a bit of a harder number to kind of understand and wrap your head around. But yeah, if you can kind of bring it closer to home and be like, okay, this week I only threw out one raspberry instead of the whole thing of raspberries, right? And, and you know, it seems kind of silly to break it down to something so small, but it's how it is, you know? Those little small actions every single week, you know, over time make a huge difference. And and so I think, you know, understanding that you're gonna make mistakes and that it's nobody's perfect, and even the best environmentalists, like, we're still throwing out food because stuff goes bad, you know? And or, you know, we just don't get around to eating it and the leftovers sat in the fridge too long and like, ooh, that's dangerous for my tummy. And so, you know, it none of us are perfect, but you know, those small changes really do add up and and can make a big difference.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. And so kind of in that vein of making those small changes, do you have any suggestions for people to cut down on their own food waste in their homes, or like even kind of going beyond that? I know you're very passionate about sustainability. Like, do you have any other suggestions too for like other things that people could be doing to live more sustainably?
For sure. So one of the biggest things is planning. So meal planning, using the ingredients that you have in your house first before going and buying new ones, and using the ones that are going to go bad first. Storing your food to help it help it last longer, and figuring out what ways for storing food work the best for you.
Yeah.
The website lovefoodhatewaste.ca has a really good list of the best ways to store like your most common foods to prevent them from going bad. They work a lot around like how to prep foods to store them and that kind of stuff to like really prolong the life of your foods. Also just be creative, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, I have this like zucchini left in my fridge. Maybe I'm going to throw it into a dish that I would normally not put zucchini into, but I got to use it up. Right. And find, you know, unique ways to use up your ingredients. And then, yeah, there are also lots of these websites that focus on food waste. They have lots of recipes.
Yes.
They're really good at, you know, using the kitchen sink, you know, basically like, you know, everything
but the kitchen sink. Yeah, totally.
Also buying foods that you like.
Yes.
You know? Even if you want to be the kind of person that like eats something, like for example, I am not a smoothie person. It would be silly for me to go buy a protein powder that you like have to put in a smoothie.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
You're not going to eat
I'm not going to eat it. Right. And so, you know, buying things that actually make sense for your lifestyle is a really important one, because it, you know, don't pretend to be someone else when you're at the grocery store.
When you just want to be like, I'm the healthiest girl around.
Absolutely. Like buy what you're going to eat.
I'm a romaine lettuce girl. I'll buy it and then I never eat it, because I continually want to be a salad person. I think it's just like an outcome of my profession. I wish that I was super into salads, and like sometimes I am, but you really have to catch me on the right day. And I find that I often will buy romaine lettuce and it just sits in my fridge until it's brown. And I honestly like, but again, I was thinking about that earlier, is like, I think being conscientious about food waste and sustainability also comes down to self-awareness of like, or even just observation, like looking in your fridge and noticing that every time you go grocery shopping, you have to throw out the same food over and over again. Like maybe at that moment you have to say like, okay, maybe I'm just not a romaine lettuce girly. Like,
and that's a great point, like, you know, that self-observation. It's like, okay, every week maybe make a, like, if you really want to make a change in the amount of food waste and you feel like you're throwing out a lot of food, write down what you are throwing out every week and be like, ah, shoot, there go the berries again, you know? And it's like, okay, maybe next week you buy frozen berries because you're going to put them in your smoothie, or you're going to put them in your, you know, granola, whatever, breakfast thing. And it's like, well, maybe the frozen ones will do.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go bad in the freezer. Like,
exactly.
If you leave them for a year, maybe. They'll be a little freezer burnt. But, you know, it's like, okay, you buy one bag of berries and it lasts you however long. Yes. And you're not throwing out those berries every week. I'm using berries as the example because that is the thing I think we throw out most in my household. Oh, yeah.
Well, they go bad so quickly, right? They just get a little furry, a little soft.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will buy berries, and I swear I get home and there's already a scraggler that has like fur on it. And I'm like, I didn't see this in the store.
I know. Like, you're like, did this happen on the drive home?
No, seriously.
And then I think the other thing is, you know, being realistic with how many people are in your house, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. I know a lot of people our age buy the meal kits. And I think in some ways it's actually a really good option for reducing your food waste, because you're cooking the exact amount.
Yeah.
You don't have extra things. There are some better options. This is not sponsored, but I'm going to say it. Fresh Prep does a zero waste meal kit. So you give back the containers every single time.
Oh, nice.
Whereas a lot of them are like just littered with plastic.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
HelloFresh. That's you we're talking about.
Yes, that is you we're talking about. Yeah. They're kind of an environmental nightmare.
Yeah.
But it's still like it provides a realistic portioning for someone who may be busy or yes. is just cooking for one person.
Yeah.
And it makes sense in some cases. Oh, it's expensive. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's cost effective in that regard.
Yeah.
But it could save you food waste in some ways because you're not going to be buying things that you don't know how you're going to cook into something.
Yeah. Well, and I think also to a certain extent, if you're only cooking a meal that has two servings in it, it's not going to go bad like the very next day, right? Because I think a lot of times, and I know that my sister talks about this too, with like ADHD and stuff. Like sometimes if it's not like right in your line of sight, then you just forget about it. But if you've made a huge batch of something or you just get sick of eating it, ends up at the back of the fridge, and then all of a sudden like half of that went to waste anyways, you might as well only be cooking two servings or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So those kind of meal kits. I had HelloFresh for a little bit. I ended up stopping because of the cost effectiveness of it. But I did notice like how much plastic and like single use containers were in there. I was like cringing every time pulling everything out. And I was like the little paper bag and the stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like they made an effort, but it's like there was so much still left over that I think could have been done better.
I think the one that always got me with those, and I personally have never ordered it, but I've like have friends that have and have seen them, is the like spice packets.
Oh yeah.
And I like, I understand that lots of people don't have spices. I grew up in an ingredients household. We had every spice under the sun.
Oh yes, for sure.
And so like, it always seems so crazy to me to like portion out like a little package of spices.
Of spice.
Like, I don't know. It just seems so silly to me. It's like, why don't you just give me like the whole bottle and then, you know, or like,
and then
I
just have it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or you could like add it on.
Yeah.
Say like a recipe calls for cumin and you're like, oh, I don't keep cumin in the house.
Yeah.
You can say like, oh, I don't have cumin, and then they can give it to you.
Exactly. Instead of like all of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I also had beef with the fact that like some recipes, like I had beef with the fact that you can't like take out ingredients. Like, so for instance, I would order a meal because I was like, oh, this looks really good. But then it would come with a food that I didn't like, but that was kind of optional anyways. But then I'm like, well, how am I going to use this food that I don't like? I wish that I could have just told them from the outset, like, I'm not going to use this. Don't give it to me.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Like, every recipe from there, I swear to God, has tomatoes in it. And I don't like tomatoes.
Oh my gosh, I was about to say, no, I was literally in the back of my head thinking, they gave me this beautiful recipe for this meal. It was like a lemon orzo dill situation. And then they gave me like a raw tomato. And I was like, who would like litter a raw tomato on this beautiful meal? Anyways, I did end up using it though. You'd be so proud. Yeah. I ended up roasting it to hell in the oven and making a soup out of it because I'm just not a tomato person.
That is fair.
And so it has to be like cooked, like dead, dead tomato. That's how I like my tomatoes. But anyways, that's very interesting. Yeah. No, I totally agree with all of those. And I guess I kind of want to, I'm thinking now about how, for the people that aren't convinced, for the people who need a little bit more convincing that food waste and sustainability is something that we should all be thinking about and that all of us can make a difference, like, what would you tell them?
So there's a lot of things to consider. I think first, again, that cost piece.
Mm-hmm.
Money speaks. People kind of can resonate with it. People, you know, spend a lot of time at their jobs to have the food that they, you know, and you know, it kind of touches home for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah, that $2,000 annually wasted of food. So that's, you know, a local stat from the city of Calgary. But especially in this economy, it's like,
oh,
who wants
to
be wasting that kind of money? That's like rent for a month.
Yeah.
Isn't
that sad too, though?
So sad.
Rent for 1 month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other thing to consider is that as we move forward in the future, in the current projections of climate change, food is going to be more complex to grow because we're going to have a more unstable climate, which means more things like hail, big storms, freak snow.
Oh, yeah.
And fires. That kind of thing. Fires, you know, all these things. And so that's only going to drive up the cost of food.
Yeah.
But it's also going to, you know, it's going to decrease the accessibility and the availability of food.
Yeah.
And so getting every drop of nutrients out of the food that you are buying is going to become more and more important.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, the food system as like an agricultural Mecca is not free of emissions. It's very intense in terms of emissions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, every apple that gets driven across the country, you know, that's CO2 emissions that are going into the atmosphere. And, you know, which is changing our climate more. Mm-hmm. And so if that poor apple does not get eaten as it decomposes, it's also going to release its own carbon dioxide, which, you know, is just part of how it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so part of me is like, don't waste the efforts that we've already made to get the food to you, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, we've put so much energy and water and all of these things into this food.
Mm-hmm.
And then for you to just be like, I don't care about it. I'm not going to eat it. Not that that's necessarily what you're doing.
You're spitting in the faces of that apple.
Yeah. But it's like, there's, you know, when you start to think about how far it's traveled, you're like, oh, I should treasure you, you know, and kind of respect the energy that it is giving to you, because so much of the energy that you can't see behind the scenes has brought it to you. I think those things, and I think also just, you know, reconnecting with the foods that you're eating, reconnecting with the land, kind of remembering where our food comes from. Go visit a farm, you know, try and grow some foods in your backyard, and you might have a different understanding of like food waste after that, right? You know, if you grow 6 carrots, you're gonna freaking eat all 6 of those carrots, right?
Because it
took 6 months.
Absolutely.
To grow those carrots. So I think, you know, if you feel like, oh, I don't really care about food waste, I don't really think it affects me, like, you know, take a minute to think about, what if I could only grow my own food?
How would I fare
and how would I treat that food, right? Like, you're probably gonna have a different mindset if every piece of nutrients that you put in your body you had to come up with, you know, you had to grow it, you had to process it, that kind of thing. So it's a bit of a mindset shift, but one that we need for a future that, you know, isn't business as usual.
It's kind of uncertain.
Yeah,
I think that's like a really meaningful message, especially like in our climate, like our actual climate living in Canada. Like, it is kind of hard to grow stuff here, and we do have to import a lot of our, you know, that fresh produce that you see year round. A lot of that, like, you're paying a premium to have that shipped in. It's giving off emissions, right, to be transported there. Like, people grew it across the world. And so I think that's such an important message to hear and to learn about our country too, is that, you know, it's hard, it's kind of harder to grow stuff here since we have such a short summer.
Absolutely.
And also, I actually just wrote a newsletter article in my final internship placement about eating seasonal foods. And it was, I mean, I wrote it for like newcomers to Canada, but it, like, the message still stands, which is, if you can kind of get in touch with and understand like what foods grow seasonally here in Canada, first of all, it's more cost effective. It's also probably going to be more nutrient dense. Those foods are more fresh. They're going to taste better. And so I think, like, if you want to like pop a little Google search and see what foods are available seasonally to us that are grown here in Canada, that's also going to impact the environmental footprint that you're having on this, the ecosystem, right?
I think the other thing to add is just, if you can, buy local. Like, that makes a huge difference. And I think, you know, it's cool because we're seeing the investment in more greenhouses across Canada, because we've started to realize, like, if we want to grow some of this food, like, for like geopolitical reasons, it's actually very advantageous for us to grow our own food, right? And so that kind of plays into it as well, is like, okay, you know, if you can get your food within 100 kilometers of yourself, that's going to be way cheaper and way less intense on our environment than, you know, shipping it. Obviously, that means that we might not get all of the like fun exotic things that we are used to. But it's also something to consider that in the future, we might not have access to those things, you know, avocados. I'm trying to think of some other fruit that's like
mangoes.
Yeah, totally. You know, things that like travel a long way. Sometimes asparagus comes from like Peru, you know, and things like that, where you know, to be honest, if we were truly committed to a 1.5 degree, like global warming, like emission reduction, some of these foods we might actually be getting, you know, they might, those might be things that get cut.
Yes, exactly.
Which is crazy, but it's like, you know, if you're looking at it with very lack of rose colored glasses.
Oh yeah.
That's, you know, one of the things that might go first.
Yeah. Which is sad to think about. Like, and to be honest with you, like even right now, I'm just like sitting on my little throne and I'm like, I eat peaches all year round because I eat them in cans. And it's, but like even thinking about that, like that had to get canned somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be shipped somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so don't take advantage of the things that you have right now. And yeah, like eating local is a big thing. I know my boyfriend, Brad, his parents have an acreage. And so they have a very significantly sized garden and they basically grow all of their own potatoes, onions, carrots, beans, everything for like a whole year. And they just keep them in the storage downstairs and they use it up until the following summer when they plant it all over again. And so I'm also thinking too, like, you know, some of that space we could probably share. You know what I mean? Like, and I know every time I go there, they're always offering, you know, we're never going to get through all these potatoes, take some potatoes, you know? And so I think those kind of partnerships as well with people in your community is also like really valuable. Like if you want to use community garden space or just a little plot in someone else's garden, or if they grow a lot of stuff and they're like, here, take some, like,
totally
take it, eat it.
And that like generational knowledge as well.
Yes.
Like they will have known, you know, what grows best and how to store it and those kinds of things. And, you know, talk to your, this sounds funny kind of, but like talk to your elders about how they, and talk to your grandparents about how they kept food, because their food systems were radically different.
Oh yeah.
Than how we, you know, have access to food, how we get our food, like what it comes in.
Yeah.
And you know, the kind of the, the packaging that it comes in, the way that it gets to us, all of those things are radically different than what our grandparents had access to. And so ask them questions, you know, like be curious about how different people, different cultures have stored food, how to, you know, I think that's something that we can really learn about, like, especially from North America, is like how other cultures care for their food in storage. Because, you know, realistically here in Calgary, it's a fairly dry climate, you know, it's fairly temperate. We get hot summers and cold winters, but, you know, somewhere where it's like 98% humidity and 35 degrees every day, like that is totally different on how you have to store your food so it doesn't go bad on you, right?
Oh my gosh. What a blessing that we have a dry climate.
Totally.
Yeah. Have you ever been somewhere humid and you're like, gosh, I miss Alberta.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you just got me thinking. I remember my grandma, she grew up in the Great Depression. And she used to talk all the time about how she used to eat dandelions for sustenance. And so it is so interesting how things change over time, right? So.
Definitely. Anyways. Definitely. There's lots to learn.
And, yeah. There's always more to learn.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Especially for us curious folks who
There's
always
no cap.
Want to learn.
Yes. There's no cap on knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about food waste related?
I think the other thing is just that you're never alone, you know, when you're, you know, trying to tackle these big problems, there's always someone who's interested, you know, there's always going to be a group on Facebook or, you know, page on Instagram or someone in your community or even a parent that you might not realize has been thinking about this. So, you know, talk to them, go for a walk with them, go to the grocery store with them, you know, like do these kind of things that are, we've often kind of separated ourselves from, you know, like going to the grocery store alone. Like, you know, it can be really an interesting and beautiful experience to go to the grocery store with someone or, you know, prepare a meal with someone and just kind of go through those steps with somebody else and talk about food waste or talk about food. And because it's really a connecting thing. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm big on that.
Definitely.
Connecting over food. Yeah. That is such a powerful message. And I think, like, you always do, again, learn something new when you're surrounding yourself with other people, even just the experience of sharing meals with people. What a powerful experience that is. So anyways,
absolutely.
That is our conversation on food waste. So I guess what can we expect to see from you next, Holly?
I'm a master's student, so I'm hoping to defend my thesis here in August. I need to write the thing. So I keep telling people this and they're like, oh my God, you haven't written it yet? And you're telling people you're going to defend it. I'm like, I'm getting there.
Come on.
So that is coming in the next couple months here. You can check out my website. It's hollybasiak.com. There's a variety of different fun projects that I've worked on over the years on there. Some beautiful pictures. All of the random things that I do in my life, because I do all sorts of things. And then hopefully someday in the future, fairly soon here, I will have some earth science related stickers. So if you like the earth and you like the earth sciences, think cute stickers that say like take a meander, as in you're taking a meander down a meandering river. And that kind of thing. But yeah.
Very good. Thank you so much, Holly, for being our very first special guest on Dietish.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been such an honor.
Yes. We bumbled our way through, but we made it.
Yes.
And for me, all the normal things. Check back in 2 weeks for my next podcast episode. You can follow me on Instagram or like my Facebook page. It's at Dietish with Lucy. Or you can email me, dietishwithlucy@gmail.com, if you have any burning questions. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining us today, and I will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye.